I do want to hunt grizzly bear, but I would definitely not want to be the person to shoot the last one. They're an emblem of Alberta in many senses. They're the greatest land predator we have in North America, and I'd hate to see him disappear. That would be very sad.
Counting Alberta's grizzly bears has become a contentious business. So far, the numbers the government has come up with don't look good. But hunters and others say they're seeing more bears than ever. This week on the Nature Stories podcast, producer Jillian Rutherford explores this controversy. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week, we bring you stories about the intersection of people and place. Here's How Many Bears Do You See? Produced by Jillian Rutherford with the Canadian Broadcasting System.
I guess I should watch where I'm going because I've just missed my turn. You see that I'm from the small town.
He may be a country boy, but Gordon Stenhouse has to come to Edmonton at least once a month.
I've got a number of meetings.
He's got people to see.
Over to the university right now to meet with one of the graduate students who's working with me on mountain pine beetle work.
And bills to pay.
This is Weyerhaeuser. It's a forest company. They're one of our sponsors for our program, and of course we'll talk about money a little bit.
Gord Stenhouse is part teacher, part researcher, part accountant. He's also known as Mr. Grizzly Bear here in Alberta.
After that, in the afternoon, I have to head back uptown to meet with Alberta Fish and Wildlife biologist staff who are talking.
Gord led Alberta's Grizzly Bear Recovery Team. It's a government-appointed group that's come up with a list of things that need to be done to bring the big bears back to a healthy population. He's also in charge of the difficult task of counting every bear in Alberta.
Bears come in and go over or under the barbed wire. They leave behind some hair. From the hair, you can tell whether it's a male or female bear.
He's a provincial biologist who was once the province's official grizzly bear biologist. But that title was taken away after he spoke to a newspaper reporter criticizing the government for dragging its feet on grizzly bear conservation.
People always want to say, well, is the population increasing or decreasing? And we don't know that, because this is really the first census data that we have. But what we can say is, I might just park over here, is that there's fewer than what people thought.
If Gord Stenhouse had followed his parents' wishes, he'd be a lawyer by now. But school never turned his crank, or at least it didn't until he discovered biology. And fieldwork seemed just the thing for this compact, bespectacled man. After university, he cut his research teeth working with polar bears. He's got lots of great stories from those days, like the time he darted a polar bear from a helicopter. The bear was just about to go under, but it ran into a lake first where it might have drowned.
I was younger then, and I decided a good thing to do would be to jump out of the helicopter. I did that, would never do that again, and I landed on the back of the bear. So he sort of turned around with his head and grabbed the front of my parka and kind of was holding me, and I was holding the back of his head to keep him from drowning. It was kind of a Mexican standoff. We had each other. We pulled the bear over to the shore in the water, and then he stopped breathing. So we immediately went in to do artificial respiration on the bear, and we got him breathing again, and we worked and worked and worked, and he'd breathe for a while, and then he'd stop, and we kept working on him. We're working on him, working on him, and he was finally breathing on his own, and everything looked all right. And then he just stood up, and we kind of all fell back, and he looked at us, and he just walked away.
And did you get a tag on his ear?
No, that bear has a little hole punched in his ear, and we never did get the tag in. So it's a blank data sheet, but a fond memory.
This is Gord Stenhouse's natural habitat these days. Hundreds of kilometers west of Edmonton, zipping along in a helicopter over the foothills of the Kakwa Wilderness Area, just north of Jasper National Park. Looking. Looking. He's brought me along on this trip. We're looking for, of course, grizzly bears. We're hanging in the sky above a patch of woods, surrounded by crisscrossing forestry lines and gas pipeline cuts.
Yeah, she's right down in here somewhere.
That beep you can hear is a bear known as G620, a mother with two cubs.
And you can see
Jillian, so here's a bear that's lived here 6 years, and her mom taught her about this landscape, so you can see the well sites and the cut blocks. She deals with crossing these roads and the rivers and all that other stuff, and now she's got to teach her cubs how to, you know, use a landscape that we're all sharing.
The chopper swings over a hill and away from Bear G620 and her family.
So we're just going to head over here to our camp now.
The camp is home base for Gord's research study, a study that requires painstakingly gathering grizzly fur or tissue samples, samples that contain all the DNA information they need to identify individual bears and count every bear in the province one by one. Gord and his team started 5 years ago, and they're nearly done. Gord hopes to have his numbers in sometime in April. There's a lot riding on the results. The Alberta government won't finalize its conservation plans until the count is done. It's not what I expected to see, but there's a player piano at the Rocky Mountain House Museum in central Alberta, an artifact from the early days of Western settlement. Rocky is in central Alberta, right on the edge of grizzly bear territory.
So this is a buckskin jacket. It's all hand-sewn, eh? I probably shouldn't be touching it, but that's a bit of finery.
Jim Passat walks through the museum, fingering antique clothing and gazing at sepia photographs.
It looks like it's bear skin.
They all tell the story of the reason for the decline of the grizzly bear, human expansion into the Great Plains. Jim Passat is the only Canadian working for Defenders of Wildlife. It's an American conservation group which has taken up the cause of Alberta's grizzlies.
When I drive from my home in Canmore into Calgary, somewhere on that drive going east, I pass a line. East of that line, there are no grizzly bears, at least in central and southern Canada. I think our job as conservationists and our job as Albertans, and certainly the job of the provincial government, is to ensure that that line does not move farther west and farther north.
Because right the bears now, were bears exterminated on the prairies. Now they're confined to a thin strip along the foothills and the Rocky Mountains. But even that's not safe turf anymore. Oil and gas exploration, logging, hunters, quadders, and hikers. New competition for the same patch of land. There are protected areas, parks, and bears do tend to live longer in them. But even there, they face poachers. The biggest problem is roads. According to Jim Passat, virtually every bear killed in Alberta is within 500 meters of a roadway.
So this looks like a buffalo robe, I think. It'll keep you warm. I guess we're hoping that the bears don't go the way of the buffalo, eh? We all recognize that bison or buffalo are a plains animal, but in fact grizzly bears were a plains animal originally as well. They're not like black bears. They can't climb trees. And in fact, this is probably what makes grizzly bears more defensive when people come upon them and surprise them, particularly a mother with cubs. A black bear will send the cubs up a tree and probably be less apt to make a stand because cubs are safe. But an animal that grew up in the prairies, there's no place to climb a tree. There's no place to hide. So grizzly bears become very defensive when they're surprised, and that's what leads to a lot of confrontation with people because they don't tend to run, they don't tend to put cubs up trees, and they act like a prairie animal.
In 2002, Alberta's Endangered Species Committee recommended the grizzly bear be declared a threatened species. The committee was worried. Estimates suggested there were only about 1,000 bears left in the province. The government chose not to label the big bears as threatened. Instead, it got Gord Stenhouse to start his count. And that 1,000 bears, that became 500 as the study progressed. And now it looks like the number may be as low as 350, a number that makes Jim Passat discouraged.
Yes, we got a study. A colleague of mine likens this to the provincial mantra of ready, aim, 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 and failing to pull the trigger. Perhaps that's not the right analogy for grizzly bears, but this province does a lot of aiming. And if we could have frozen the condition of grizzly bear habitat in 2002 when the first warning lights came on, then maybe the delay and the studies and the contemplation and the peer review would be the right thing to do. But the problem is that more roads have been built, more mineral leases have been approved, more wells have been dug, and more recreationists have concluded that the backcountry that used to belong to grizzly bears belongs to them now instead.
To be fair, in 2006, a temporary ban was put on bear hunting, and it hasn't been lifted. But Jim Pessot wants more, like a moratorium on any new roads in bear country. In the United States, they had to close 1,000 kilometers of roads to bring grizzlies back in Yellowstone Park. Pessot says without drastic measures like that, grizzlies in Alberta are on the road to extinction. Yep, that's an elk call, morphed into a cell phone ring.
Hello, Morris here.
Morris Nadeau's daughter downloaded it for him. Morris lives in eastern Alberta, far from grizzly country. He works in the oil patch, but his passion is hunting with a bow and arrow.
It's part of who I am. I don't look for acceptance for it. I don't look for anybody to give me approval for it. If you agree with hunting, you agree with it. If you don't agree with what I do, I'm not going to try really hard to convince you. But it's not something that I can do without.
Morris Nadeau is past president of the Alberta Fish and Game Association. It represents the province's hunters. Morris's lifelong goal is to kill a grizzly bear.
I still would like to challenge myself against a grizzly bear. My way of hunting him would have been with archery equipment. Some people think that's crazy, but that is the extent and level to which I wanted to bring the challenge to myself. But I do want to hunt grizzly bear, but I would definitely not want to be the person to shoot the last one. They're an emblem of Alberta. In many senses. They're the greatest land predator we have in North America, and I'd hate to see him disappear. That would be very sad.
Morris Nadeau disagrees with the ban on grizzly bear hunting, and he doesn't want to see it become permanent.
The last thing I want to see is property or land put under such strict protection for wildlife or for the habitat itself that it's off limits to humans. If we can only stand on the outside looking in, we may as well just sit in our living room and watch TV.
When bear hunting was allowed, Morris tells me, an average of 11 bears a year were killed by hunters in Alberta. He believes that's a sustainable number. In fact, he says hunting is actually good for bears because it teaches them to be afraid of humans and stay away. What Morris and other hunters don't believe is Gord Stenhouse's science.
Many of us question the methodology of how the process went and how the studies are being conducted. More people are seeing more bears all the time, and this may be because there's more opportunity and more ways to go into bear habitat, or maybe it's just the fact that there are more bears.
You know, there's been lots of controversy about how many bears there are. There's a lot of people who don't believe the scientific results.
Gord Stenhouse has heard the argument time and again. Today, he and his crew have hunkered down out of the rain at their research camp, an abandoned logger's cabin next to a small lake.
In my view, it's the best information we have. We have something. If you don't believe it, that's fine. There are segments of lots of different groups that might not believe it. You know, you go out one day hiking or quadding or hunting, and you see four bears. So you conclude that there's lots of bears. Another thing that can happen is that you've got oil field workers that drive down one road. There's 10 guys that drive by in a truck. They all see a bear, so that's 10 bears, not one bear that 10 people have seen. So we are putting more and more roads in. There's more and more people out in the bush. It's expected that there would be more sightings of bears. So when people stand around and talk at the end of a day in a coffee shop and everybody's telling their bear story, the conclusion often is there's lots of bears. But from a scientific standpoint, we've gone to areas where we just haven't found the numbers that people expect.
With his province-wide count almost done, Gord would like to see a new system for keeping track of changes in the bear population, where rather than just sightings, hunters and others help the scientists by collecting scat and hair samples when they're out in the bush. That way they can tell the difference between individual bears and keep an accurate count. For Maurice Nadeau, there's more at stake in Alberta's grizzly bear debate than just his favorite hobby. Closing roads, saying no to oil and gas developments, or deciding not to log forests could hurt Alberta in hard times.
I work in the oil industry. I've seen what we do out there. I've opened up pipelines through what would have otherwise been, you know, virgin forests or some very scenic areas, and we've cut pipelines through it, or we've put up oil wells on them. And pipelines and oil wells aren't the most visually appealing thing out there. But it's the way that I've been able to support my family.
Jim Passat says Gord Stenhouse is walking a fine line between science and politics.
Well, I don't think you could put any individual into a more difficult position than the province and the Times have put Gord Stenhouse. He has been asked to be an objective and credible scientist. Secondly, Mr. Stenhouse has been asked to be a faithful and straightforward public employee. A good employee is one who is quiet and doesn't rock the boat. If you rock the boat, you better be prepared to either sit down or get wet. And so when Mr. Stenhouse is asked to be both a credible scientist and a responsible public employee, it's hard to tell where he has to stand in that boat. His third position, if you will, made that even more difficult. As the chair of the grizzly bear recovery team, in many instances, Mr. Stenhouse was asked to speak on behalf of that recovery team. And on a couple of occasions, that team was very impatient with the slow pace or the lack of response from government. And when Gord Stenhouse conveyed his committee's concern to government, government didn't like to hear it, and government was his employer.
Hey, John, when's that rain going to let up?
It's not going to today.
That's what I thought.
Despite losing a job title, Gord Stenhouse still talks to the media about his grizzly bear research because he says it's the best way to educate the public. But you won't catch him criticizing government policy these days. He prefers to focus on the positive. In the fall, the province published draft maps of Alberta based on Gord's research, which show core grizzly bear habitat. The idea is to strictly limit human access to those key areas. For Gord Stenhouse, he's counting on his research to speak for itself and eventually lead to a comeback for the majestic grizzly bear in Alberta.
That's why I keep going. It's just not about catching animals and being out with your friends and colleagues in a bush camp and having lunch in the rain. And it's certainly not about catching bears. It's, a lot of people might sort of view this as a bunch of cowboys flying around trying to catch bears and put collars on. No, that's not it at all. We're scientists, and when you can see the science being used, that gives you hope for the future.
That piece was produced by the CBC's Gillian Rutherford. To hear more pieces like this one, stop by the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback, please write to us at podcast@tnc.org. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.